Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Take a look back at that 53-0 win against Osage, first shutout of the year. And I know we talked about a lot about it after the game, but I mean, the defense was just, you know, we saw them just fix tiny little things, whether it was, you know, just lane integrity or tackling on first contact, and it just seemed like they, I mean, it was one of their more, it was a perfect game for them, it seemed like.
Well, it wasn't perfect. Let's not mistake ourselves. But I think the trust factor came in for the first time. I think maybe with the youth we have, they were trying to do too much. And in this game, it seemed like everybody did, I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to rely on the person next to me to do theirs. And the trust factor was there, so we hit lanes so well in their run game, and we made a bounce, and made a tackle. So I really feel it was more of a trust factor where finally the players were in the mindset, I've played this team 2 weeks. We watch ourselves on film. If I do my job, player X is going to do their job, and player Y is going to do their job. And I think it all just really formulated to a good plan. I really think that's where we could be as a defense. Again, we're so young over there. That's the one thing that scared us all year. We've talked about over and over and over. We've wore that out. But I think this is a sign of things to come here in the future. You know, it's really a positive sign when you can do that with the team and change, make such a dramatic change in a week.
Okay. How did you feel offensively second straight week playing Osage?
Offensively, I felt like they changed defenses on us. And anytime that happens, it seems like we take a little bit and, you know, we got to look at it, we got to feel it, and then all of a sudden, boom. You know, that's what I have a friend of mine who was at the game, and he said, you know, it looked like it was a game. He said, all of a sudden I look up, and it's 29-0. He said it was so fast. He said it was 8-0 for the longest time. And he said, all of a sudden, bang, it's 29-0. He said, you all are just so dang explosive and can score so fast. So I got to take that in consideration. But I don't think it was our best game, and I don't think our players were real satisfied with it. We've had a very attentive week of practice with our offense, so I anticipate having a better showing. You know, it's hard to say with 53 points, but it just didn't feel like we were 100% on offense last week.
Okay, and, you know, this week's opponent, Boonville, another team you saw in the regular season, obviously, but it's been close to a couple months since you all last played. What can you tell us about what you've seen from this Boonville team recently?
Well, I think they really have an identity where they're running the football with three guys. You know, they feel very confident they're going to be able to move the football with their quarterback, their running back, and they're bringing the McKee kid in and running him also in the backfield. So they have a really good three-prong attack they're running. Their offensive line does a tremendous job. They tend to take the ball and move methodical drives. But they're a big play team. It doesn't seem like they really want to drive ball. They're looking like they want to methodically get you into rhythm and then bang, they hit you with a hot one real quick. So that really, you know, plays into your interest. Then you turn around defensively. They've tried a couple different defenses here the past couple weeks, which has been surprising to me. You know, they really had been a 40 front all year. They've been messing around with a 30 front. So we've been preparing for a couple different looks because we're not for sure what they're going to come out in.
Okay, what are going to be some keys for your ball club in this game?
I think just play and have fun. You know, this is an opportunity to go back to some place where it was probably one of the most awesome environments you could be in, but it wasn't awesome for us. It was an awesome environment for them. We've been there. We've done that. Now it's just go play football. Don't worry about all the extra things that are outside. So I think it's more just, hey, how much have we improved and how much more can we improve to this game?
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And before we get started with Greg here, I'd like to just take a moment to thank some of our goal line sponsors from this season. We'd like to thank Cole County Industries, Beeline Convenience Stores, Jeff Helscher, Eastern District Commissioner, and Chemna Collision Repair. So, Greg, we, you know, basically seeds held last week in the, you know, Class 3 District 5 quarterfinals. You know, we had, you know, 4th seed Eldon beat 5th seed Southern Boone, 2nd seed Boonville beat 7th seed Fulton, 3rd seed Blair Oaks beat 6th seed Osage. The only surprise about that one to me was the score this time, 53-0 this time around. So, you know, not surprising the win, not surprising good separation in the win. It's just to me the zero was the big notable thing that came out of last week.
And I mean, I watched week 9 online. I wasn't there and Jason Strickland was covering for me. But I remember one of the things he told me when I got back to the office, he said, that Blair Oaks defense looked pretty good in the second half of that Week 9 game. He's like, I know the first half didn't look good, but he's like, they looked pretty darn good in that second half. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people have asked me, what's the difference? Like, what happened? I'm like, it's small things here and there. It's not what I know it looks bad that they're allowing about 30 points a game. I know people are like, that looks bad, but keep in mind, these are there's no seniors on that starting defense.
Right.
But and we've talked about this multiple times. They're so fast on defense. They were just overrunning. They just were off by a half step, or they just missed a tackle a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
It all clicked Friday. It was unbelievable how much different they looked from Week 9 to Week 10. And on number-wise, I mean, really, on the field, it didn't look that much difference other than the fact that they were wrapping players up on first contact. They were hitting Brockton McLaughlin in the backfield. I think he had a couple of runs for 20 or so, 25 yards maybe. Outside of that, they really didn't get that many big plays, and that's what we're used to seeing from past Blair Oaks teams that don't give up the big plays. This defense last week looked like Blair Oaks defenses of the past, or we could even go far as back, we could even go as recent as Week 1 or Week 2 when they looked really good against Maryville and Knob Noster.
You know, and I think that it's kind of one of those things too, where that's the interesting part sometimes about football, and I think when you see it, especially, you know, from one half to the next, sometimes all it does is take a small break to get things figured out, and then all of a sudden a switch gets flipped and you've got it figured out. And obviously, yes, they did that in the second half, and then by having to be able to play the same team the next week, that switch just stayed flipped because you figured something out in that second half that you were going to enable you to have success against them, and it kept on playing out in this one. So sometimes you go, you know what, for some teams they're just lucky that, you know, football games are not 8 quarters, because if they went longer, then some results could get even uglier. So just the fact that you were able to play them back to back weeks, sometimes there's just a level of familiarity, and it's not much time to be able to try to change things up or develop a new identity. It's the same team, and if you figured them out the week before, you just continue on with that pattern of success.
I think the thing that has looked good, and you and I talked about this in last week's podcast, in 2015 when they played VerSales back to back, and in 2018 when they played California back to back, I mean, the results looked eerily similar. Mm-hmm. What jumped out at me was how different it looked this time around. They really shut down Osage's run game for the... I mean, McLaughlin's going to get yards here and there, and I think he accounted for like 70 or 80 yards out of their 98 total. They shut down the other running backs. I mean, the Eric Hood kid just could not get past the line of scrimmage. The Bradley kid, he got some gains here and there, but they also hit him in the backfield. Jackson Thunderbird, they did a good... I mean, that's a big... He looks like a nice-sized high school fullback, and they were able to get a lot of stops against him. Again, the run defense just really impressed me, and if you take a look, I mean, the pass defense was fantastic, because I believe they only allowed maybe one or two completed passes total, so they just... I think it was just one pass, and it was for a first down for 8 yards. So outside of that, I mean, they just did – so they defensively, they did what everybody's been waiting for them to do for 2 months.
Yeah.
And when you go back and look at it offensively, I mean, this was an 8-0 game after one quarter, and then it was 36-0 in the blink of an eye.
That was my next question is, so – the 53 is not an accustomed territory for them this year. What might be unaccustomed sometimes is how they did it, because we've seen them do things different ways in different games this season almost. You know, sometimes it's just been one or the other and not both. What was the attack this time for Blair Oaks, and how did they go about scoring those 53 points?
The first drive was pretty methodical. They just grinded it out. I mean, it still took less than 4 minutes, but it wasn't, you know, there weren't a lot of huge plays. So it's 8-0 at that point. If I remember right, the second drive, they're pinned deep in their own territory. It's 4th and 6. And for the first time all year, they try a fake punt, and Dylan Hare comes up just 1 yard short of the first down. So now the defense is getting its first huge test. They get a turnover on downs at the 12, and I think that was the only time Osage was in the red zone all night. Okay. And then the offense is like, all right, thanks defense, we've got it from here, and they just scored at will after that. And I know they had scored 71 the past few weeks, but we also saw something in the second half that we hadn't seen quite often this year, which was a running clock the entire time. So that's also one of the reasons why they didn't get in the 70s. In the past, when they've gotten in the 70s, it's because there was no running clock, so there was more time
natural
for them
flow
to do
play.
Stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely. Well, I think that's enough about that one, because this is this is kind of what we were expecting after we kind of saw the regular season matchup. We thought, okay, there's a chance that Blair Oaks and Boonville will get to do this again. They do get to do it again. Boonville, it's a different team this time around. For we'll mention that in a second, but it's also worth noting that they're only coming off a 40-20 win over Fulton in their semifinal. So to me, that's just one of those things that was kind of not that it was I don't know that I was shocked or anything by it, but it was just, it made me kind of take notice just from the standpoint of when you went, that was a little bit closer than maybe that I thought it was going to be.
That was something, I believe my brother was at the game, so I talked to him a little bit about that. I was kind of curious what he thought, and then I talked to Coach LePage and got his opinion, and they both kind of said the same things. It's a 2-7 game. Fulton was winless, and I think Boonville was like, we want to get out of this injury-free, so okay. We're really not going to take any risks. And you got to remember, they're also coming off that tough loss to Hallsville.
Sure.
And I know there might have been a little bit of a hangover from that, just because, that was for the conference title. A lot of teams, Week 9 doesn't mean a heck of a whole lot because you're gearing up for Week 10. Boonville was, that was a huge game. Fulton also, had nothing to lose in that game. They're 0-8 going into it, and I think they had a rusher go for about 150 yards, got a touchdown here or there. But yeah, I think this was a game that Boonville was kind of on autopilot a little bit. They're like, okay, Let's just get through it,
sure,
and try to stay as healthy as we can for the Blair Oaks game.
So we kind of mentioned in passing, but it is a little bit different Boonville makeup from the previous time they met during the regular season, just from the standpoint of they're missing the guy we talked about a lot the last time we did one of these podcasts.
Yeah, DJ Weslak hasn't played for about the past month. He's not expected. DJ Weslak obviously being the 4-star defensive end we've been talking about. He's not expected to play this week against Blair Oaks. And really, that changes the makeup of the Boonville defense, because they were a great four-man front. That really, their strength the past few years has been at defensive end, because they've always lined up another great defensive end opposite of Weslak. Well, without him, you could try to put in another defensive end, but I think they're trying to cater to their strengths, and they're going with a three-man front and really are becoming dependent on that linebacker core to help them out. Again, it's not like they don't have they've got another great defensive end on the other side with Tyson Ellison. And really, he had a big game against Blair Oaks the last time, because you had Blair Oaks, and you can't blame them, but they were running to the opposite side of Weslak a lot.
Sure.
So Ellison was able to, get his hand in on a lot of plays. But at the same time, things are different in the fact that it's a different-looking Boonville defense, and I would make the argument that this is a much more potent Blair Oaks offense compared to Week 4. They were still kind of feeling each other out, I think, at that point, because you had all the skilled position players on offense were still relatively new. That was only their fourth game. Well, now it's Week 11. There's a lot more experience. They're averaging 55, 56 points a game. So it's going to be a little bit interesting to see how Boonville handles this Blair Oaks offense.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a 41-35 win for Boonville that first time around. And like you say, I don't think we knew kind of what Blair Oaks was offensively at that point. Even to say that the fact that even at that point they still scored 35 and were in that game kind of leads you to believe that was probably a precursor of what we've seen the last couple weeks, and the fact that they have turned out to be very skilled offensively.
Well, yeah, and the frustrating thing is if you talk to Coach LePage, you'll be like, that's a game we should have scored in the 50s, because, okay, they got 35. I believe the very first possession of the game, Dylan Hare lost a fumble in the red zone, and they were on a roll on that, so the defense got a three and out right after that, that changed a lot of the momentum, because they scored on the next one, and all of a sudden, it could have been a 15-0 game or so right off the bat. They had another possession in the first half where they got like fourth and goal at the one, and then back-to-back false start penalties made fourth and 11. They couldn't convert. There was another missed opportunity. And they had a couple of punts where they probably should have moved the chains a little bit more. So, yeah, this was a game that they, they didn't play perfect, but while they didn't play perfect, they were still right there, and they were one stop away from challenging this Boonville team for a win early on.
You probably don't know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because it's just one of those that kind of intrigues me. As someone who saw that first game, Do you think that there was anything held in reserve by either squad that they maybe didn't try? I mean, I feel like the way that game played out, it seemed like both of them were, you know, super invested to win and super, you know, super involved in and were willing to try to win that game because they knew all the things that kind of went into it in terms of both conference aspirations and district seating and all that. It leads me to believe that maybe they probably didn't maybe like necessarily not give their A effort, but do you think that maybe we could see anything surprising come out of this game from the standpoint of maybe something weird happens or somebody tries something that they didn't try the first time around?
Well, it just kind of depends. What worked well for Boonville was that their quarterback, Colby Caton, was running at will against Blair Oaks. If I remember right, he had like 35 carries for 232 yards. It was one of those things where it was like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So
sure.
They kept going to him, going to him, going to him. And there was that one drive in the second half that went 10 minutes. They had 18 plays, and he ran the ball in 14 of them. Now, we may see something different because they may be thinking, well, Blair Oaks is gearing up to try to stop him. Well, you also got DeJuan Lomax in the backfield. You got Jameson McKee at wide receiver. You got Dakota Truce, who's also been pretty good for them lately. So, I mean, if you're Blair Oaks, it's like what we talked about last week. When you play Osage a second time, you're looking at what they didn't do in that first game. I think that's what you're going to look for this week, too. You're going to, okay, we got to – yes, we need to plan to stop Caden, but we need to plan for the other three or four options they've got at us. What's different with Boonville this time is they're really stacking the box and really relying on that run game. You know, they might have McKee out of the Wildcat. They may have the Caden kid run up the middle. Caden has the ability to throw the ball pretty decent, but I think this is a game where, yes, Blair Oaks' run defense looked pretty good last week, but I think Boonville's going to say, hey, try to stop this week. And I think they're going to go with the run game until Blair Oaks proves they can stop it.
I'm going to veer off this game for just a moment because I think we're getting close to prediction time anyway, but I want to just get your thoughts on how you see maybe the other district semifinal playing out from that one, from the standpoint of, you know, you got four-seeded Eldon, you know, coming in and having to go to top-seeded Mexico. You know, it's a Mexico team that's had, you know, some pretty good results this year and you know, I think earned the top seed in the district, you know, in large part based on not only just their play, but just the fact that they played up a lot and played a lot of bigger school teams this year. Do you see that being a pretty easy Mexico victory, or do you think that's it's the sort of thing that, you know, maybe Eldon can give them a game in that?
I think Eldon can give them a game. I know Eldon, it hasn't looked great for them this season. That being said, I thought that was a pretty impressive Week 10 win against Southern Boone at home. I believe it was like 36 or 39-13. To me, that's all the momentum. And again, we talked about when Blair Oaks played Eldon, you know, Bryce Veach is probably, I'd argue he's the best running back in the conference. Mexico, I know the NCMC, they played a lot of Class 4 schools, but they didn't play some of the cream of the crop. I know they played Hannibal. I know they played Kirksville. But, you know, I really don't think Mexico was challenged a whole lot this season like Eldon was. I think Mexico is going to win by a touchdown or two. That being said, it would not surprise me if Eldon pulls off that upset because Eldon has the pieces to go in there and get that win. And that would really kind of shake things up because if Eldon won, winner of the Boonville Blair Oaks game instead of going on the road, they're hosting that district championship.
Yep, absolutely. So I guess we'll ask you then, who does win this game between Blair Oaks and Boonville?
You know, I really think Blair Oaks has the momentum. Like I said, something just clicked last week that they look like the Blair Oaks of what we've seen the past couple of years where they just got that confidence. Now, I know, and this is the second straight year they're playing Boonville in the district semifinals. I know it's a much more improved Boonville team. It's going to come down to which defense can get more stops, and I just don't. I don't see how Boonville's going to get more than maybe a stop or two. I mean, Blair Oaks didn't even have to punt last week. They didn't really have to. They punted once the week before, so obviously teams are struggling to stop them. Blair Oaks has to do a better a great job of taking care of the ball. They only had one turnover last week, and honestly, they need to find a way to get some more turnovers like we saw last week where they were able to get a couple of takeaways. I think this is a game that Blair Oaks will win. I think it has the possibility of being a shootout. I'm going to say Blair Oaks wins this one. I'll say 50-35.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.